Dead Meat Pete is homemade with no production financing of any kind. If you're enjoying the show, please help us out by leaving a positive review and sharing it with others.
You wouldn't expect a town as small as Caddenville to have an extravagant museum, but that's where Pete and Axel found themselves. They were surrounded by elementary schoolers on a field trip. Snotty-nosed kids whispered and fidgeted, uninterested in a museum guide who gestured at a wax man in a felt hat and frilly outdated clothing.
Does anyone have any questions about Turnwell Cadden?
Why do his eyes look like that?
Unfortunately, there are no portraits of Turnwell Cadden from his lifetime, so what you see is an interpretation by an artist.
He looks so funny.
Ain't this the guy that killed Bloody Bones?
Excuse me?
I heard he destroyed the ancient monster, buried him with some kind of magic amulet, a family heirloom. I heard you got all those heirlooms here. That true?
Someone may have told you all about Mr. Cadden and a monster, but it's a story made up after his time. There were never monsters in Caddenville.
And what about the amulet?
We have many exciting artifacts, but unfortunately, they're too fragile to leave out here. They will be on display on Founders Day. Doesn't that sound fun, kids?
Worth a shot. Here's what I figure Lewis knows by now.
It doesn't like sunlight, so it digs like a worm and stays indoors. It'll return on the 300th Hallows Eve after its burial.
Lewis read aloud from the book, trying and failing to keep Tanya's attention. Audrey, for what it's worth, was intrigued.
It must be buried with the amulet in its mouth before dawn, or nothing will stop it from its mission. To destroy the new world.
Let's party!
Eric made an entrance the way all jocks do. He smacked the book out of Lewis's hand, only interested in one thing.
Stupid dick. He's doing something important.
School's out early, Adams family.
Lewis crouched down and retrieved his book. As he lifted it, he noticed something. A date. 1689.
Hey, guys. The 300th anniversary is today. It's here.
Later, they find the last living Cadden. Real old lady in a retirement home. She tells them how this piece of shit amulet was kept as a family heirloom, embedded into a brooch. That brooch is in this museum's basement. You gotta get that amulet out of that and into the mouth of Bloody Bones.
In the museum's basement, a beam of light showed an amulet-studded brooch.
It's the only way we're getting out of here. But breaking in right now is too risky, which brings me to a very important rule. Avoid police and security at all costs. Getting detained, even for a few hours, is a death sentence for both of us. Kid? Kid, where'd you go?
He just went to hold that right now.
Pete, as it turns out, had gone straight to the two museum security guards to get help.
So to get my family back, I gotta have that amulet. It's the only way.
Okay, so the boogeyman's got your family, and if we hand over the most valuable item on the property, he'll give them back.
Pretty much.
Peter! Thank God. Thank you, gentlemen. I thought a nice day out of the home would help Peter. He's not well. You know.
It's okay. These guys are gonna help.
Now, you boys want to show me your tickets?
Yeah, we came in with the school group. I think they gave our tickets to this one lady.
You brought a mental patient to chaperone kids in a museum?
And it's the kind of crazy where he's just gotta have valuable stuff from a museum.
Yeah. Okay, we'll just kind of...
Hey, if I see you downtown again, I'm taking you both in. Is that clear?
Yes, sir. Avoid cops. You can't risk getting locked up while the world resets. We always, always race the clock.
I wasn't getting locked up. You said we need that thing to find my family. I asked him for it.
To defeat Bloody Bones. We steal the weapon, avoiding suspicion. I had a plan for that, and you just took a steamy shit on it. Okay. Plan B. Follow the lambs.
Every house on North Topanga Street was identical. Cookie-cutter townhouses decorated with jack-o'-lanterns and black wreaths. Pete's truck sat across the street from Lewis's house. Through binoculars, Axel watched the nerd, lying on his couch, talk to an unseen person.
What's troubling you, young man?
I need intel on Bloody Bones!
How do you know what they're saying?
I just know the gist. Pop-Pop tells Lewis about the old lady. They'll go to the old folks' home tonight.
She probably tells them about the museum, right?
No. She thinks the amulet's under the floorboards at the old Cadden home. It's a goose chase. Pads out the runtime.
This Jax kid is our enemy because Lewis tells him what to do.
Yep.
So lie to him. Get something and say it's the amulet. Tell him we're experts or something. You look like an expert.
You know what? Give it a shot.
I don't have a fake amulet.
Axel rummaged in his backpack and produced a necklace decorated with crystals. He smashed it on the dashboard. A piece of crystal fell off. Axel tried and failed to catch it. Once he found the shard and dusted it off, he held it up like a prize, proud of himself.
Hey, fella. You trying to kill that monster?
What do you mean?
The one that killed your friends.
My friends didn't get killed.
There's people getting killed. You want to stop the monster, right?
How do you know?
I'm an expert.
At what?
Pete held out the crystal.
This in my hands. This is the Caddenville family amulet.
Where'd you get it?
Me and my partner, we do pertinent historical events. And he really just knows his stuff.
What are you trying to sell my grandson?
The pitch was interrupted by Lewis's grandpa, who slammed his cane down and pointed an accusatory finger at Pete.
I'm giving him something. Look, y'all, here's the real truth, okay? This guy in the truck over here, he came to me this morning, and he told me what's really going on. But your grandson's looking for this amulet. We had it. I'm just trying to help.
The real amulet is red. It holds the blood of Turnbull Caden's ancestors. That's cheap jewelry. Get off my street.
Jesus.
Ow! Grandpa, calm down!
He's a good boy!
I know, I'm sorry!
Get away from him!
Stop hitting me!
Get off my street!
You could have warned me that old buzzard was going to come out and stab me in the eyeball with a cane.
I didn't know that. I just knew it wasn't going to work.
My family's on the line. I don't think that's very funny.
Heroes never lose the main thread. I mean, sometimes you can knock them off for a second, but they just get back in place.
What if we kidnap the kids? Lock them up or something?
It'll go about as good as it did with Lewis. The closer we get to heroes, the more the world pushes back. We stay in the background no matter what. It's a race. That's the only game you get.
Why are you gonna follow the lambs if you can't do nothing?
Axel led Pete through the department store and stopped in front of a rack of Halloween costumes. He rummaged through them, tossing aside a vampire, a football player, a witch, looking for something. Finally, he found it. He pulled a cheap police costume down off the rack and held it up to Pete.
I said you could knock him off for a second. So we follow the kids and wait for the right second.
As the sun began to set on Caddenville, the annual barn party kicked off. It appeared that only the young and attractive were invited. Teens filled the cowhouse, dressed as fake mummies, werewolves, and sexy whatevers. Nearby, Axel curled up in Pete's truck, trying to get some sleep. Pete examined the badge on the police costume.
Ain't nobody gonna think I'm a cop in this cheap-ass thing. One kid already saw me anyway.
We don't need to fool the kids. We need to fool the museum guard while you run past, screaming about the kids in the basement. You follow the kids down there, and while the guards are focused on them, you steal the goods. You know, confusion and chaos.
So why are we here? Why aren't we at the museum? We don't need to be out here watching these kids grab-assing.
That's later. We keep to the story and make sure none of our work changed the pace. That's our job for now.
You need to wash that fishing coat. You smell like a nasty-ass, sweaty butthole.
It's a raincoat.
You need to find one, too. And sturdy boots.
If it rains, I'll find a raincoat.
And you gotta learn to sleep in chunks when you get a chance.
Especially in a one dare like this.
Pete stared out at a cloudless blue sky with treetops nearly emptied of leaves, ready for oncoming winter. He was lost in thought, just long enough for Axel to begin snoring. The barn stood tall, dotted with missing planks and blotches of red paint. A teenage ninja boy and a female Ziggy Stardust made their way to the entrance. He let go of her to open the massive door and failed to hide how much effort it took. The barn door swung behind them, mostly closing. Pete appeared around the corner and crept along the wall. He saddled up and peered through the hinge in the barn door. It seemed that every teen in Caddenville was here, costumed and sauced, dancing around hay bales and orange string lights. Zombie Eric and Cleopatra Tanya stood in a corner, talking to a girl in a kimono. Pete spotted a table with pizza and punch. A small boombox played a cassette tape.
Boy, that's a little radio for all that.
He looked down to see the rocks at his feet vibrate. The earth was moving.
What the?
He lost balance and stumbled backwards. The ground beneath him bulged as if a balloon was inflated beneath the soil. It lifted Pete hard enough to throw him against the barn door, which rammed into its own frame and splintered. The turbulence put a stop to the dancing and pulled the crowd's attention to the barn entrance. The barn doors gave way and crashed forward. Pete rode them like a surfboard. A boy in a clown suit was nearly crushed, falling out of the way at the last second. Chunks of earth exploded behind Pete. A dark figure erupted from the crater in the earth. Here was Bloody Bones. Its long, sharp teeth and black eyes glistened. Pete scrambled to his feet and ran into the crowd. Bloody Bones leapt at the clown. One slash and the boy's guts were on display. He spun around as his insides erupted on partygoers. Bloody Bones snatched him up and reached in for its prize. A chunk of rib. Everyone ran for cover. Pete scanned the barn. The only way out was the way blocked by Bloody Bones. But Pete had an idea.
There's always a window.
Pete dodged Panic Kids, his head on a swivel. He pushed over hay bales and decorations, desperate to find the window. Bloody Bones searched too. Chairs and tables went flying, tossed effortlessly as the monster rooted out anybody foolish enough to hide. The creature found what it was looking for behind a display of corn stalks and scarecrows. Tanya's kimono-wearing friend was curled up in a ball, covering her head. Tanya watched in horror as Bloody Bones snatched her friend by the arm and dangled her in the air. There was a flash of claw, and Kimono Girl's head was sliced away, twirling up toward the barn ceiling, leaving behind a brilliant fan of blood. Bloody Bones reached into the gushing stump of her neck and yanked her spine out. A fresh wave of terror swept over those who dared sneak a peek. That's when Pete found it. He pushed over a mass of carpet rolls and scrap wood to uncover a window. He pulled at the frame, but it was painted shut and didn't budge. He grabbed a piece of wood from the pile at his feet and reared back. He had the glass cleared away in no time and grabbed the window frame to pull himself out. Pete turned back to see pure carnage. Beyond the chaos, he saw the terrifying sight of Bloody Bones trampling teens. Bloody Bones looked back at Pete. No, not Pete. It was looking at... Eric and Tanya were running towards Pete in the open window.
Oh! No, no!
Bloody Bones galloped at the three of them. Pete panicked and pushed Eric to the side.
Watch out!
Bloody Bones slashed, missed Eric, and sliced Pete across the chest.
Ah! Shit!
Bloody Bones grabbed Pete by the arm. The monster opened its maw to consume Pete. Pete's truck crashed through the barn entrance. The monster looked back to find Axel behind the wheel just as the truck slammed into the beast and pinned it against a wall. Pete was thrown to the ground, nearly run over by the skidding truck.
Get in!
Pete scrambled to his feet and jumped in the truck bed as Axel peeled out in reverse and flew past a sea of helpless kids.
Dead Meat Pete, a Straw House Pictures production, written and directed by Chris Gervais. Story contributions by Micah Troublefield and Chris Nolan. Starring Chris Gervais as Pete, Renee Alfonso as Axel, Rodney Stringfellow as the narrator, Karen Myers as the museum guide and Audrey, McKenna as the little girl, Mari Snipes as Lewis, Andrew Hall as Eric and security guard number two, Zaid Patterson as security guard number one, and Micah Troublefield as Pop Pop. Produced by Micah Troublefield and Anil Dokai. Music by Soft Neon. Find the soundtrack at softneonmusic.com. Recorded and edited by Chris Gervais. To learn more, visit deadmeatpete.com. And while you're at it, check out our friends at Let's Talk Horror, a great podcast where horror is, in fact, talked about. It's a great place to kick back and hear a smart person unpack your favorite horror movies. Support for this project is provided by the Arts Council of York County Small Grants Program, the John and Susan Bennett Memorial Arts Fund of the Coastal Community Foundation of South Carolina, and the South Carolina Arts Commission, which received funding from the National Endowment for the Arts, and Comporium Communications. We're very grateful for this small grant. It is specifically for marketing season one. We have no production financing of any kind. Please help us out by leaving a positive review and sharing Dead Meat Pete with others. It's the only way we're going to keep this ship moving. Thanks for listening.